Well, our weather has turned more toward what we are accustomed to here in the summertime. It is hot outside, and over these next few days, promising to be even hotter. Naturally, we get into the topic at this time of heat stress on our livestock, and particularly today on our cattle, and how you can counter that as producers. We've invited by today for a visit A.J. Tarpoff, beef veterinarian, K-State Research and Extension. And we go through this every summer, A.J., but interesting this year, it's been relatively cool by normal summer standards in Kansas up to this point. But really, starting today, the heat truly kicks in a severe way, and maybe our animals aren't accustomed to that yet.
No. So this is the first big heat spell that we've had so far this year, which it doesn't seem like too terribly long ago. We were discussing the cold, the wind, all the different issues that we had with the mud and going through this past winter. But yes, we're coming into heat stress time, and heat stress, is it a big deal? Yes. Every year, it's estimated that our livestock industry, our beef livestock industry, loses about $369 million a year just due to the effects of heat stress.
What factors develop heat stress in cattle? It's worth reviewing those, AJ.
It is. So it's not just the relative temperature in an area. Okay, so we need to keep in mind that it's the ambient temperature. Okay, so we see that on the thermometer. We have the temperatures get above 97, 100 degrees. But what also plays a key role is relative humidity. We have that higher moisture level mixed in with higher ambient temperatures. But what about wind? We've all been outside on a nice breezy day that it seems, even though it's relatively hot, we get a nice breeze and it cools us down. The last that we don't talk about commonly is actually the UV radiation, okay? The solar radiation that beats down on either us, our animals, our livestock, that really increases the overall thermal load that these animals are exposed to on a daily basis. So those are kind of the four big factors that go into accumulating heat within our cattle. Okay, but let's talk about the cattle themselves, right? Do we have certain at-risk classes of animals that are more at risk to have heat stress episodes?
Dark-hided cattle, for sure.
Think about your black car that you go out and sit on leather seats, you know, right in the middle of the summer. Dark, you know, paint on a car is very similar to having dark hides on cattle. They will absorb more of that solar radiation. So, yes, dark-hided animals are more at risk. But what about the size of that animal? Think about our animals that are on feed, okay? So we have a great performing black feedlot steer that is out in a feedlot pen doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing. He's got good body condition and fat cover over his back. He's more at risk, okay? That's an enormous amount of energy expenditure that he needs to undertake just to cool down.
To know what you as a producer can do to help abate that heat stress, you need to also understand how cattle themselves adjust and what behavior they take on to, in essence, try to cool themselves.
Right. So I think most of our producers, we can all understand and visualize what those heat-stressed animals do in the heat of the day. When is the heat of the day? Well, the heat of the day is afternoon. Okay, so it's, you know, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. These cattle, it actually, their internal temperature is about a 2-hour lag delay. Okay, so if the hottest part of the day is 3 p.m., that animal's internal temperature will be hottest about 5. Okay, so we do have a 2-hour delay. What are they doing to cool themselves? Well, number one, evaporative cooling. They pant. They increase respiratory rate, which we can visualize. We can see them panting. We can see them open mouth breathing. Those are two key ways that they end up breathing heavily to help dissipate some of that heat load. Now, cattle, believe it or not, do sweat, but it's not very efficient. Compared to people, cattle sweat about only 10% of what a human has the capacity to be able to sweat. So sweating is not a very good evaporative cooling for cattle. They heavily rely on breathing out a lot of that heat load.
But there are obvious limitations to how much they can ease the heat load through those mechanisms.
There is. So what ends up happening is they will accumulate a heat load throughout the sun, the heat of the day, and they will accumulate all this heat load and they wait for the cooling that comes at night. We really run into big issues when we don't get that thermal cooling at night. And we call this cumulative heat load, okay, where cattle will absorb heat. They don't cool at night. They don't start fresh in the morning. okay, they're already stressed, and they already have a higher cumulative heat load starting first thing in the morning, and they just keep accumulating more and more heat. So nighttime cooling is very, very important to get our cattle down to a thermoneutral, back to their comfort range.
But the unfortunate situation is, and we'll see it the next several evenings, if those nighttime temperatures stay in the mid to upper 70s for lows, that cooling does not occur.
And very true. And that's where we need to have a plan together that we need to implement, where we can watch the weather, we can watch some of our graphs, understand where these animals are not going to be cooling at night. That's kind of our danger zone, okay? That's where if we have a plan in place, we wait for some of these things to come to fruition, you know, weather-wise, and then we can implement that plan before it causes any undue stress on our animals.
Well, AJ, right here, we will go through several options for providing heat relief to cattle. Before we do that, and we will remind also toward the end of our conversation about this as well, the Mesonet service out of K-State has put together an excellent tool for producers in assessing that heat level in their cattle herds.
They sure do. And it's called the Cattle Comfort Index, which I really like this tool, that it does kind of take into incorporation temperature, humidity, wind speed, but also the solar radiation that we deal with from the hot summer suns. It takes all of these into an index and actually tells you right off at this point in time today, do we have severe heat stress? Do we have no heat stress? But there's also a nice little tab that shows you the 7-day heat stress event. So you can see if we do get nighttime cooling or not. So you kind of understand what your risk level is in any given day of the year.
And that tool is operated on a running basis, so it's constantly updated. It's at mesonet.ksu.edu. Now to heat abatement itself. First and foremost, cattle have to have access to good quality drinking water constantly.
Water and lots of water. Okay, so water is one of the most essential nutrients of animals. Whenever we have a heat stress event, guess what? That is the most essential nutrient times five. Okay, right. And I say times five because the question always comes up, how much water do these cattle need? And a good rule of thumb I like to work off of is whatever they're consuming, dry matter intake, they need five times that in water. So, you know, rough estimates, if an animal's consuming a little over 30 pounds of dry matter of feed, well, whenever we put that on a pound basis and we know how many pounds are in a gallon, we're pushing 20 gallons per head per day. Now, what does that tell us? As the stewards of these animals, we need to make sure that they have ready access and plenty of it. Good quality, good quantity. So quantity, if we have a group of animals, whether this is a feedlot pen, whether this is a well, do we have enough well capacity for, you know, grazing animals to keep up? So if we know how much they need per day, we need to make sure that the lines are pressurized like they should, so they refill like they should, so these animals are never short of that essential nutrient. So that's the biggest thing. Other things with water, okay, we know how much they need. What about availability? Okay, many times we have one water trough. Mm-hmm. In very stressful conditions of severe heat stress, increasing our water tank capacity and availability will really help make sure every animal within that group consumes the proper amount of water.
In essence, bunk space.
Bunk space, but water space. Right. So if you do have cattle in a feedlot, and if you have empty pens, cattle that are getting ready to go to hit that final weight, if you have fat pens that are almost ready to go and you have empty pen space around, split those pens. Okay, we can split those pens. We can double the water capacity for that group of animals. There are other operations that may not have that availability. We can actually put out some water tanks within the pens themselves, come by with the water hose on a fire truck and be able to fill those up. I've known a couple of operations that will actually use sandbags and dam off a certain area of the feed bunk and actually fill that with water just to increase that availability for these animals during these hot summer heat stress episodes.
Now, for producers with cattle out on grass, farm ponds are the usual water resource of choice, but even then, a producer needs to be aware of the quality of that water available, do they not?
It does. So, unfortunately, with farm ponds, what happens to the surface of that pond? It starts to get hot.
Right.
Okay. It really starts to increase in temperature with that hot summer sun and the temperatures that come with it. So, is it the best for heat stress events? No, it's not. unfortunately. We will see cattle standing in these ponds for long periods of time. What do? Whenever they're standing around, well, they also urinate, defecate, things of that nature, that we can impact the water quality, which will reduce intake. And ultimately, we're trying to increase water intake at the same time. There are some situations that we may have to deliver extra water out to pasture settings. So having that kind of prep work in place, that if we do need to deliver extra water for some of these grazing animals, we have the availability with some tanks that we know where we can fill them, and we're prepared to start a delivery of some of that water source whenever that time comes.
Well, AJ, here's one tactic that's really been played up in recent years. It seems to have considerable merit, and that is taking another look at how one is providing that supplemental feed to cattle, not only in terms of what they're feeding, but when, correct?
Correct. So whenever we feed an animal, we talked about how animals accumulate heat. Okay, through the relative, you know, the temperature, relative humidity, solar radiation, wind speed, and if they're dissipating or not. But what about the heat that the animal produces? And this is where it's a little bit different. It's called, you know, it's the heat of digestion. Okay, they ferment all these feeds that actually releases heat. Whenever we feed an animal, it takes time for digestion to occur, but they will have a peak digestive heat load about 4 to 6 hours later. Okay, so understanding that, do we want to feed cattle where they're going to match their digestive heat with the hottest parts of the day?
And probably not.
No. So things that we can, being proactive, having that basic understanding, and then what feeds actually create the most heat? We always, in the cattle industry, we talk about hot rations, okay, higher starch rations. Believe it or not, they're not the highest heat producing. They just have the most energy dense. Actually, the lower quality straw hay, very poor quality grass hay, things of that nature that are very fibrous, actually produce the most heat in those animals inside their rumen. So typical feedlot rations, grazing animals on lush green grass, those have a much lower overall digestive heat load compared to some of our other rations. So that's a good thing, understanding that. But it's still good recommendations that we may come into a heat stress event that will back cattle off of certain rations and certain energy levels. And it's not drastic, but we may back them off 5 to 7% on an energy basis just to make sure that they will still consume what they need, but we don't run into some digestive issues later down the road, and they don't have quite the digestive thermal load from those rations they consume.
And again, you want to provide the ration in the cooler part of the evening. That will be your best bet.
It's a good recommendation that whatever you feed for the day, we want to feed 70% of that as late as possible into the evening. So that means nowadays, this time of year, we may be providing that ration 6, 6:30, 7 o'clock in the evening, which some of our feed delivery folks, you know, aren't thrilled about always. But we really push back that digestive heat load until the cooling hours of the night. Okay, and that can really make a big impact on how much these animals deal with during the heat of the day.
Well, AJ, for cattle in confinement now, providing some sort of ambient water, if you will, sprinkler systems, direct applications will provide cooling if it's done properly, correct?
If it's done properly. So sprinkler systems. Our number one reason why we have sprinkler systems in our feedlots is, number one, dust control. Number two, cooling of the pen floor. Not of the cattle directly. So whenever we use sprinkler systems, we want to make sure that they have big droplet size. We don't want a mist, but we're trying to apply water to actually cool the surface of the pen, but not directly cool the animals. Indirectly, we will cool those animals once we decrease that temperature of the pen floor. Keep in mind, the pen floors can get up over 140 degrees during the heat of the day. And whether that's just straight dirt or a small amount of manure on that pen floor, it can get to some pretty extreme temperatures. So if we use sprinklers, they're used either overnight or in the very early hours of the morning to make sure that all of that gets wet. It does have a chance to dry out, so we don't artificially increase the humidity on that pen floor. Now, since we're talking about the pen floor, you know, one thing that you can do during these days of extreme heat, the pen floor may be 137, 140 degrees during the heat of the day. Just applying a small amount of straw bedding to the pen floor can decrease that pen floor temperature by about 25 degrees. Okay, so that's another tool to have in your back pocket that when we get in some of these events, that may be something to help cool the ambient area around these animals.
And that may sound impractical to some producers, but that is worth the trouble, providing that bedding when you have severe conditions like we may well have in the coming days.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything to help reduce the overall accumulating heat load in these animals and increase the likelihood of nighttime cooling.
Well, one obvious thing would be, if one, again, can sensibly provide it, is shade.
Shade. Shade is a phenomenal tool to have at our disposal. You know, the folks in the cattle industry a little bit further south from here, from Kansas, the feedlots down in Arizona, parts of Texas that have routinely dealt with heat stress events for years and years and years, they're much more likely to have different shade structures up and at their disposal.
There's quite an array of products out there.
There are quite an array, whether it's a pasture setting or whether it's in a feedlot. It doesn't have to be anything special. The one thing I want to bring up, if you're considering shade as a heat stress abatement, we need to make sure that we have plenty of it. Okay, so what's recommended is about 20 square feet per head. So 20 square feet, if you picture that on the ground, okay, a 4x5. Okay, a 4x5 area is enough for every animal within that pen. What happens if we don't have enough of shade space within a given area? All the animals will coop up and they'll try to get under that shade, and then they increase their own temperatures by spreading body heat between each other.
They'll just aggravate the problem.
Correct, correct. Now, I do want to throw out a hint of warning, especially for a lot of our cow-calf operations and pasture-based operations. We just came off a very cold winter. Okay, we may have had some windbreak structures or these small sheds, these loafing sheds that we provided for animals to be able to lay in to get out of the elements. This time of year, those can be just almost a death trap. There's no airflow. They have very little just airflow, ventilation, and cattle will still try to use those to get out of the heat of the solar radiation, but it can be dangerous heat levels on the inside of those. If you do have those out within your pasture settings, if there's a way that you can actually get those off the ground so we can get airflow and ventilation to go through them. But personally, I try to get those out of the pasture if I can during these times of extreme heat, just because I know there's not enough airflow going through them. Most of our feedlots use fabric, and different types of shade structures that are actually elevated upwards to 20 feet, of course, so you can still drive a loader underneath them. But that provides plenty of ample airflow to try to cool these animals down where they can get out of the sun, decrease that radiation, and try to get a little bit of a breeze. The other thing that you can do that I didn't bring up earlier is for our feedlots is make sure that we have properly made mounds. Dirt ground mounds in the center of the pen, cattle will climb to the top of these and actually catch small amounts of breezes that will help cool them down during these episodes.
Airflow is vital, yep, among many other things that we're talking about here. And it would seem to go without saying, but the producer should minimize any and all handling of the animals in these conditions, when possible.
If coming over the next several days where we're going to have extremely high temperatures, that this is the danger zone, okay? Extreme danger zone that we don't want to be working cattle. If you do need to process, re-implant, gather animals, do anything like that, make sure that we try to either get that done as early as possible in the morning to make sure that we are done, those animals are resting by 10 a.m. That should be the ultimate goal. Or as late as possible in the evening. During the heat of the day, we want to leave those animals alone, let them rest, relax, and try to cool themselves down, and let's hope for some nighttime cooling coming up over the next couple days to keep these animals in their comfort zone.
Very good. And as a parting thought, remind us once again about that tool on the Mesnet website and how useful that can be.
Kansas Mesnet, it is the Cattle Comfort Index, a phenomenal tool to keep in your back pocket to monitor when we're coming into some of these dangerous times during the year. How many days in a row have we had cumulative heat stress and cumulative heat load where these animals may be at increased risk? Okay, so I think it's a phenomenal tool that we have at our disposal, and I'd like producers to take every opportunity to use it.
That is an excellent device to use in making these decisions on abating heat stress in your cattle herd. mesonet.ksu.edu. Producers, check that out for sure. And AJ, we appreciate you coming over, sharing all of this advice on what producers can practically do to help their cattle through these stressful next several days and probably beyond, as we've plenty of summer left.
A pleasure to be here, and stay cool.